The Generic Live Show is up next. Generic Live Show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show here on a Wednesday. This is the makeup broadcast because we didn't do a show on Sunday due to technical difficulties that kept us away from the microphones, unfortunately. We've had a bit of a crisis situation here to start off the show. I don't know whether to leave the broadcast and then come back or what to do, because we have a spillage live here in the studio. This is breaking news. We have a spillage that has caused a bit of a wreck. Might have to leave the broadcast to come back in a minute or so. Actually, you know what? I will do that. I'll be back in a minute. I'm just going to keep playing the theme song. I'll be right back. I am back. I just need my headphones back on. And there we go. Thanks for joining us here on a Wednesday. We do promise to get to things that is a little bit more civilized and ready. Thanks for joining us here on a Wednesday. Like I mentioned, technical difficulties kept us away from the mics on Sunday. No one's real fault. But it's still annoying either way. Just if you're just tuning in, we are covering a live spill that happened here in the studio just moments ago. The spill was about half a can of Coca-Cola. I don't know what I was doing. I think I put it next to pretty much close to where I needed to push some buttons, and I think it just spilled over. Nothing is affected. I should say hopefully, because if I say hopefully, it definitely will be, but nothing's affected, and I'll take care of the remaining of the spill when it happens. As we try and form some sort of normalcy here on the Generic Live Show, if you haven't heard about this story, then you are hiding under some sort of a rock. Great Britain has decided to leave the European Union. That's going to be our big ticket item today as well. It was much more of a big ticket item when it was happening on Sunday, but beggars can't be choosers. So we're going to basically run down the whole story and some developing news in that front that has occurred over the last couple of days, because there has been some backlash in terms of what has been happening in the European Union. I'm all thrown off, by the way. I'm all miscombobulated from the spill that happened. That's too funny, though. The UK leaves the EU. 51.9% vote to leave, 48.1% decide to remain in the EU with the majority ruling. With the electorate being 46 million, a bit over 46.5 million, with 72% turnout, there were 26,000 rejected results. How the results are calculated? Well, let's have a look at this. Well, it's important to note that the polls closed at 10 p.m. and they were counted in 382 counting areas, which mostly, these are mostly local authorities that will count it. At the first stage, they saw the first round of ballot papers, not the actual votes that are counted as a process of verification. Any ballots which are later rejected are included in these verified ballots. So they basically go in and discount the donkey votes, essentially. Leave and remain votes will be then counted, and any rejected ballots where the voter's indications is not clear on the ballot paper deemed to be spoiled will be set aside. Local totals of leave and remain votes will be announced for each counting area at the local counts. So they were, I'm reading this in future tense because that's what it was back on on Friday when this all went down. Friday, Saturday. Local counting officials then relay local totals to the representative regional counting officer, who will then in turn announce the regional totaling of each of the UK's 11 government regions and Northern Ireland, which is considered separately because it's Southern Ireland is its own separate individual part. Like I mentioned, there were 380. What are local results in Northern Ireland? Although the Electoral Commission treats Northern Ireland as a single counting area, referendum ballots will be actually counted in eight local counting in the local counting areas in Northern Ireland's 18 UK primary constituencies. I think that's that word. Counting offices in eight of these locations will make up 18 constituency results known to Chief NI Counting Office in Belfast, who will then take the figures, make the figures available to the press. What is the winning post? To win the referendum, one side must win 50% of valid votes cast plus one vote. So one vote above 50% is deemed majority. How is the turnout calculated? So, for example, if there were 502,034 valid votes in Birmingham Council, an electorate of 770,000, approximately, the votes cast divided by the total population in the electorate times 100 would be nearly the turnout rate. The announcement was made when Leave was deemed 50% plus one. Actually, now that I think about it, it talks about recounts and it goes into specific details from there, but I feel like no one's asked for a recount at this point, which I find quite fascinating, by the way. No one's talking about recounts in terms of the referendum. I find that rather interesting because it's, I feel like with a vote that is so important and with a vote that has so much on the line, I think a recount would be warranted here, but no one has called for it, which is surprising to me. Again, as we break down the kind of breakdown, England with 53.4 to leave, with 46.6, and a 73% turnout. Northern Ireland voted majority to remain at 55.8%, with a 62% turnout. Scotland voted majority main with 62-38, and Wales voted to leave 52.5-47.5 remain. Now, as we've seen in the last couple of days, particularly that that Scotland has kicked up a massive stink in terms of wanting to remain in the EU because they voted to remain in the EU, so they want to be a part of the European Union still. Now, this is going to cause great divide in the UK, of course, because all counties in Scotland voted to remain. There was no leave majority in any of the local counting areas in Scotland, which is fascinating to me. Not even a counting area. And if you break this thing down into demographics, most of the working class people voted to leave, and the rich people voted to remain. Now, that's the argument being presented forward. Now, I would argue that not everyone in Scotland is rich per se, but I feel like that Scotland just feels like they're not going to last out on their own. I feel like that Scotland isn't built to last out on their own without the help of the European Union to do trade deals. Now, if we look at the global markets, and of course they went in turmoil, we're going to hear some words now. I don't know who is in this, who is talking here, but they are, they kind of lay out the basis for the Holden 4-day sale event on new demo vehicles. Of course, they talk about Holden. They kind of break down the drop in the stock markets. Gold actually went up. I think this is actually from the stock exchange itself. I'm not too sure what's going on here, but we'll play it for all of you to hear with me for the first time. Let's have a listen.
The first full post-Brexit trading week getting underway on Monday. Global markets still in shock after the UK voted to leave the European Union. As the Asia Day gets underway, it's not quite the bloodbath we saw on Friday, though the pound sterling is continuing to fall, down more than 2% as gold prices rise. Investors and corporations around the world are sifting through the Brexit wreckage to try and understand what it means for them. The only upside at the moment, some adventurous buyers wading into badly beaten down stock. The value too good to be true after $2.5 trillion was wiped off the value of global markets on Friday. But the broad picture remains the same. In a word, uncertainty. Investors in the dark over what's going to happen next on the political front. For starters, they're wondering how the UK will negotiate its exit from the EU and just how bad the hit will be for European economies. And then there's the far-reaching impact on currencies and trade. China's yuan hit a 5.5-year low on Monday. And in Japan, the yen is rising as the pound tumbles, a wrench in the works for the government's plans to shore up the economy. Goldman Sachs is warning that the UK is likely to head into recession, and major economies, including the US, will feel the pain. The bottom line for investors, markets could be foiled for weeks to come. Experts saying until leaders can offer some sense of clarity over how Brexit is going to be handled, confusion will continue to reign.
And I feel that is Tara Johnson, I believe her name is. Tara Joseph, Reuters Asia correspondent, talking about Brexit and the tumbling of the stock exchange, pardon me. And how that'll affect local markets. Now, I would agree that that we're going to see a dip in the stock exchange. But I feel like, I don't know, Europe has always been this funny one out. I'm going to sneeze. Hang on. Pardon me. Yeah, I'm feeling a little bit under the weather, by the way. I've done nothing but talk all week, but that's another story that we'll get to later on. But the stock exchange reacts to things like this. You've got to remember that. Sniffing on air. That the stock exchange always reacts immediately to world events, and it pans out for the most part. You got to think that there were world events that occurred in the wake of the 2008 and 2012 financial crisis as well. And I feel like I agree that Britain's going to go into recession, but I feel like that it's going to be for all the better. I feel like they're going to come out and they're going to go be free. I feel like they're going to be relieved of any ties that they have, any contractual ties that they would have to the EU, and they can kind of act like their own independent economy. President Obama, of course, came out and said that there was no immediate plans to make deals with the UK if they were to succeed from the Union back in April. I would change my tune if I was the president. I would be embracing this, considering that the UK, I heard, was like the fifth largest economy in the world. Are you kidding me? You'd be a fool not to make ties with the UK and kind of preserve some of that environment. Back here, though, some numbers that they didn't touch on: the SP 500 dropped 1.9% here in Australia, which is not terrible. It's experienced worse. Bank shares, though, mostly took a hit locally. Sterling fell below Friday lows of 3.4%, the weakest it's been since 1985, as the SP cut its rating to the UK sovereign debt. Demand for haven assets boosted gold, and Treasury 10-year yields approached almost a four-year low. More than $4 trillion was wiped off the stock exchange since Brexit, and it has everyone on edge. I mean, we'll talk about this a little bit later on in the backlash of David Cameron? Yeah, resigning from being the Prime Minister of the UK. He's leaving, and he says there's going to be a new Prime Minister by September, because he failed to keep it together. He failed to keep it together. So it is what it is. And yeah, I mean, it's tough. You gotta look at bonds too, but Treasury's gained. Treasury's gain with 10-year yields extending to Friday retreat by falling another 7 basis points to 1.49%. Yikes. UK government bonds surge, pushing a 10-year yield below 1% for the first time, with the yield on similar maturity German bonds dropped 7 basis points to negative 0.12%. Spanish bonds railed on Monday after acting Prime Minister Mario Rajoy defied opinion polls to consider his position in the general election held on Sunday. The yield on the nation's 10-year debt dropped 18 basis points to 1.45% after jumping 17 basis points on Friday. Oil declines below $47 US a barrel as the market remained volatile. West Texas immediate crude futures fell 3.2% to 46 $2.10 in New York, extending Friday's 4.9 slump, the biggest decline in 4 years. Copper rose, reversing earlier declines as UK Chancellor of Equiza George Osborne sought to reassure markets. Gold gained 0.2% as a demand for haven is set to be the highest close since July 2014. I feel, yeah, you're going to see lots of hard assets rise, like copper, silver, and gold. They are going to rise, of course, in the wake of Brexit. And Brexit's going to be remaining our big top topic for this election cycle, for this show, because, well, first, it was designed to be like 3 days ago, 4 days ago. And it's just a huge overall story to kind of wrap your head around and all the different aspects. We're going to cover every single aspect. We've got four segments dedicated to Brexit, so we're going to have plenty of time to break all this down. And we've got three segments dedicated to it. So there's going to be a lot of talk going on as we continue here on the Generic Live Show. Well, Democrats in the US, they are staging a protest. But it's not necessarily a protest that we're all used to seeing. We'll tell you more about it as we continue. It's 10:22.
Finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
You might be wondering why we're playing J-Lo's On the Floor. This is the song of the Democrats. That's right, after this week. Yeah, they staged a civil rights style sit-in on the House floor. So this goes out to you, Democrats. You're welcome. Oh, yes. You're on the floor. You're all on the floor. Quite literally. Not on the floor as in the normal sense of the word, as in, you know, sitting there in chairs doing their job, like, you know, voting on bills that are being passed down. No, they are quite literally sitting on the floor. They, of course, this goes after gun control, violence. They wanted to make the terror watch list basically the same as the no buy gun list, for lack of a better term. Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House, was infuriated, of course, and he called foul, of course, before the Democratic House takeover. It's good to note that Speaker Paul Ryan, Republican of Wisconsin, and John Lewis, I believe is his name. Who is he representing? He's Democratic for? It doesn't say. No. But Nancy Pelosi was there. She's the Democrat from California. There was lots of people there. John Yaroth is also there on the floor. Lots of people on the floor. And, yeah. How does a minority in the House take control of the House by literally sitting on the floor? We have the video, actually. We do have the video. Yes. Of Congressman John Lewis disturbing.
For months.
Here we go.
Even for years, through several sessions of Congress, I wondered what would bring this body to take action? What would finally make Congress do what is right, what is just, what the people of this country have been demanding, and what is long overdue? We have lost hundreds and thousands of innocent people to gun violence. And what has this body done? Mr. Speaker, nothing. Not one thing. We have turned a deaf ears. We have turned deaf ears to the blood of the innocent and the concern of our nation. We are blind to a crisis. Mr. Speaker, where is the heart of this body? Where is our soul? Those who pursue common sense improvement are beaten down. Reason is criticized. Obstruction is praised. Newtown, Aruba, Charleston, Orlando. What is the tipping point? Are we blind? We are calling on the leadership of the House to bring common sense gun control legislation to the House floor. Give us a vote. Let us vote. We came here to do our job. We came here to work.
Rise up, Democrats. Rise up, Americans. This cannot stand. We will occupy this floor. We will no longer be denied a right to vote.
We sit down.
Gentlemen's time has expired. Pursuant to clause
so we can
12
stand.
Parent A of Rule 1, Chair declares the House recess till hour 12 noon.
The House will be in order.
Yeah, that.
You know, I wanted to talk to you about a few things, and then, as you know, we had another suicide bombing, Istanbul, Turkey.
Oh, that's old news. Democrats on the floor. You know, they want to get on the floor. I shouldn't laugh, by the way. I'm not laughing at the cause. But when asked by Republican Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, later on, if they have a bill suggestion, Democrats looked at him and just went, nope, and just kept going like this. Yep, they'll die on the floor. Thanks for joining us here on a Wednesday here on the Generic Live Show. Yeah, I'm not poo-pooing gun control legislation, by the way, but what I am poo-pooing is politicians not doing it. I mean, they could have served a bill suggestion. They could have proposed a bill to the House. It would have got shut down. Then you have your protest. But just don't stand up there. I mean, I'm of the political left, but I'm going to call something out when I see it. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and play neutral radio host because I have to. But I can call something out when I see it that it's stupid. I can say something. If it's dumb, it's dumb. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Wednesday, more on Brexit, as more, you know, back to things that matter most to everyone. It's 10:31.
This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show, the makeup broadcast for Sunday, the 26th of July. Yeah, we're doing it on a Wednesday morning. Thanks for joining us. Glad to be here, as per always, at your service. Glad to be with us. But we are going to be talking predominantly about Brexit and the fallout in the world about Brexit. We're going to be hearing from next hour. We're going to be hearing from a lot of comedians. We're going to hear words from them on what they think Brexit means to the society at large, because, you know, comedians, they have the best view on the world, of course. But we're gonna head to a story that we didn't cover. If you haven't heard the basis of the story, is that the
Mr. Speaker, the British.
Oh, excuse me. The UK decided to leave the European Union 51.9 to 48.1 within 2 percentage points. Majority of UK voters decided to leave the European Union, with the breakdown being that the majority of England and Wales, surprisingly, decided to leave, with Northern Ireland and Scotland remaining. I saw today that there are people in the House in Scotland are really protesting to stay in the European Union. We covered that in the first segment of the show right before. It was funny. The broadcast this morning has been really weird. We had a spill live here in the studio that I had to clean up. I had to leave the broadcast and then come back. Haven't really found my flow since, to be completely honest. But we're here. We're back. We're live to Hard Drive. You know that. We know that. 2 hours. We podcast the hours out, so you don't have to listen to the whole. You don't have to listen to my voice for 2 whole hours. But if you do want to listen to the full live broadcast as it happens, you can check out the YouTube channel at youtube.com/genericliveshow. You can check it out there as well. And you can see my quaff of hair, actually. I need to get a haircut. But thanks for joining us. So, yeah, the EU has decided to leave the broadcast. Last segment, we talked about how the markets have collapsed in reaction to, and $4 billion, that's billion with a B, has been wiped off the stock exchange in reaction to Brexit. And how currencies have fallen, but solid metals have stayed the same throughout the whole ordeal, and they have stayed the same, and they've stayed the same, they've stayed solid, and it's interesting that they have stayed the same. They're acting like a haven for many people. But here, I want to highlight something else in terms of Brexit. I want to talk to you about former Prime Minister? You can't call him former Prime Minister if he's still in power, but he has resigned. And here he is talking to the House floor for the first time since the resignation of him as Prime Minister. Take a listen.
I would have voted to leave the European Union. It was not the result I wanted, nor the outcome that I believe is best for the country I love. But there can be no doubt about the result. Of course, I don't take back what I said about the risks. It is going to be difficult. We've already seen that there are going to be adjustments within our economy, complex constitutional issues, and challenging new negotiation to undertake with Europe. But I am clear, and the Cabinet agreed this morning, that the decision must be accepted and the process of implementing the decision in the best possible way must now begin. Mr. Speaker, tomorrow I'll attend the European Council. In the last few days, I've spoken to Chancellor Merkel, President Hollande, and a number of other European leaders. We've discussed the need to prepare for the negotiations, and in particular the fact that the British government will not be triggering Article 50 at this stage. Before we do that, we need to determine the kind of relationship we want with the EU. And that is rightly something for the next Prime Minister and their Cabinet to decide. Mr. Speaker, although leaving the EU was not the path I recommended, I am the first to praise our incredible strengths as a country. As we proceed with implementing this decision and facing the challenges that it will undoubtedly bring, I believe we should hold fast to a vision of Britain that wants to be respected abroad, tolerant at home, engaged in the world, and working with our international partners to advance the prosperity and security of our nation for generations to come. I have fought for these things every day of my political life. I will continue to do so, and I commend this statement to the House.
That is David Cameron addressing the British Parliament after his resignation as Prime Minister of the UK after the popular vote went against what he was saying. And, you know, I feel like that this year has been really weird, and I don't know if it's something that'll come up in the best of 2016 when we do it in January. Yeah, more on that. I've got some really cool plans on this year's best of 2016, by the way. Might go on another vacation. How about that? Ooh, actually, we've got a vacation coming up that I'll announce next hour. But I was on a path there. That's right. I don't know if this kind of leaving from the European Union will be something that, and the popular vote going against the establishment, I don't know if it's something that will come up in trends. That'll depend if Donald Trump wins the presidency or not. But even if Donald Trump doesn't win the presidency, you can kind of argue the point that Donald Trump's not really the establishment. He's kind of been on the outside of the establishment. He's kind of kept it on a fringe. He's been he's a fringe candidate. He's a very fickle candidate. He's not against, you know, he's not traditional. He goes against the grains. He's very, I guess, finicky is not really the right word, but it's just strange to me that this year, and you can see it here locally, on a micro level as well, particularly with local elections. I mean, we've got an election coming up on Saturday. That's right, folks. Saturday. We'll have more details for that coming up later this hour, on particularly Senate voting. But you got to think as well. There's been an independence resurgence. I would say resurgence. That would imply that it's happened before, but a surge of independent candidates getting traction. I mean, if you look at local micro opinion polls, independent candidates are within the top of the race at the moment, and it's going to be tough, and it's going to come down to second. I reckon here locally, it's going to come down to a second preference vote, because I'm really afraid that an independent candidate might run away with the vote here on Saturday. But people are seeing that in America as well, where things are not what they seem. They are very micro level, independently level, and I don't know if it's Brexit, if it's Donald Trump, if it's local micro economics performing more independently. But I just feel like it's an interesting trend to highlight. Another trend interesting to highlight when it comes to Brexit, you got to consider all spectrums of this thing, and that's, we're going to have a busy time next hour still covering this story, because it's such a huge story, it's so many elements to cover, and it's a fascinating story because it's so rich. But a rise of local racism incidents have occurred in the UK in the last couple of days, and it's been blamed on Brexit because some people, it's open season for racism. Political leaders have called for action against intolerance and vigilance against racism after police said hate crimes report has risen more than 50% from Thursday through Sunday compared to the same period 4 weeks ago. BBC journalist Sima Kuchi tweeted on Monday at lunchtime, in utter shock, just been called a bleep in my hometown. Haven't heard that word here since the 80s. The Muslim Council of Britain on Sunday collated details of 100 hate crime incidents in the referendum result, raging people being told to go home to much worse. And the Islamic Human Rights Commission said since the referendum, incidents of racism and Islamophobia have been on the rise. An 11-year-old boy, catch this one out, an 11-year-old boy whose family moved to Britain from Poland 3 years ago told the BBC he was going to school when he found a card containing the words "on Friday." The boy's father said, "I live in this country, I pay any taxes, for that matter. My home is now this country, I don't understand the situation." The graffiti reading "Get Out" was scrawled on front doors of Polish Cultural Centre in Hammersmith. This is the thing about a referendum. You get backlash, of course. And I'm going to assume, I shouldn't make assumptions about people because it's a really bad trait in me, but I'm going to assume that these people who are fighting against these people voted against the popular belief. I'll tell you why. Because if they did vote for the popular belief, if they voted to leave the EU, why would they be protesting? One could argue that they've remained to leave so these people would quote unquote get out. But if these people voted to stay in the EU, you would think that they would be protesting because they didn't get their way and they have to take it out on someone else. Which is more likely in this case, considering Scotland's response to, "We have to stay in the EU because it's important for our immigration, it's important for our jobs and our economics, plus our people don't want to leave, so why are you forcing us to leave," kind of thing. I think it's that. I think it's, you can kind of connect the two there. If people are voting to leave, then if people voted for leave, they got their way, then, or they just kind of, they voted their way and they're really passionate about getting these people out of the country, which you could argue is the case. But I would argue against that because that just doesn't make sense. Why would you have some sort of form of reaction if you got your way? Why are you doing this kind of thing? Or if you voted to stay in the EU, remain, if you will, then why are you reacting again? Oh, sorry. If you voted to leave, why are you reacting? If you voted to stay, then you kind of have to take it out on someone else. It's really interesting to kind of get that as well. And it's, again, there is a bit of 80-20 going on here. You've got to think 80% of the population isn't doing this. upstanding citizens that are living day to day trying to earn some bread. And you've got to think, and 20% are doing this bad thing, and they're getting 80% of the media coverage, and you don't talk about the upstanding citizens. I get that. I fully get that myself. Well, as we continue here on the Generic Live Show, well, our friends at Secret have some wonderful, wonderful deals for you. The deals are valid between the 28th and the 30th of June. They've got a 2-for-1 deal on selected items and 25% off other products. You can check it out at secret.com. They have, for example, the facial cleansing milk now down to $60. Or the nail kit, the ocean nail kit down to $70. Or the mineral-rich mud shampoo, now down to $40, which means you can get a 2-for-1 deal on that. You get 2-for-1 on that one. The sale ends at midnight Australian Eastern Standard Time on the 30th of June. If you want that great deal the buy one, get one free on selected items, go to their shop at seedcrate.com and use the coupon code 241. That's 2-F-O-R-1. The number 2-F-O-R-1 for great deals on skin products from the deep sea. Sorry, no rain checks, and it can't be used with any other promotion while stocks last. The 25% discount, remember, is not used on the 2-for-1 products and vice versa. Go to secretspa.com, my apologies, secretspa. Add the products to your shopping cart, and when you're checking out, use the coupon code 2FOR1. Secretspa.com. Deep sea mineral skincare for you and the ones you love. Facial, skin, age-defining men. They have men care up for grabs as well. Recover and hair regrowth products. For 2 days only, ends on midnight the 30th of June at Australian Eastern Standard Time. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, well, the ballot paper can be a bit confusing. Well, back to Australian politics, and the ballot paper can be quite confusing. Considering there's 122 candidates up for grabs in Australia, we'll tell you who's who in the zoo. It's 10:51.
Now, it means that I don't like it. When you turn my voice about, I don't like it. When you vote One Nation out, my language has been murdered. My language has been murdered. My shopping trolley murdered. My groceries just gone. I don't like it.
When you've turned my voice. Whatever the time of day, whatever the time of the night, we're here to serve you a big dose of genericness with your host, Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for Wednesday. This is the makeup broadcast for the Sunday one. Technical difficulties kept us away from the microphones. And the wise words of Pauline Hanson, she doesn't like it when you vote for all 122 candidates just to put her last. No, she doesn't. No, thanks for joining us here on Wednesday. Yes, she doesn't like it when you actually put her last. So, funny how that works, right? That actually is, it's interesting. She is running, One Nation's really put up some candidates this time around. But someone here locally, you go to the pre-polling booth, and they actually have had someone put Pauline Hanson last on the ballot paper. It's quite fascinating to see that they've actually done that. So let's actually have a look. It's interesting. We have lots of parties running for the Senate this election. We have 122 candidates from, let's see, A through Z. So that's 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 38 political parties in the Senate. 38 political parties, 122 candidates. Let's have a look. So the Australian Cyclist Party, in the A column, they are leftish. Single-issue party which touches on political areas that might affect cycling. Left only in the sense that advocate for more government spending on cycling infrastructure other than that they're fairly agonistic. Aligned with their natural allies, the scientists. Okay. The Arts Party. Those guys want to raise particular awareness of cuts to the Australian Council and George Brandis redirecting money to his project. This sometimes can be fairly jokey, by the way. They're left wing, so that's exciting. The secular party of Australia, rather, not the secular. I want to get religion out of politics, schools, and other places. They're a centre-left party. Labour, the current opposition, according to the critics, they're a bunch of left-wing economic job destroyers who also so right-wing that they are no different to the Liberals. That's a jokey joke. They're a centre-left party. The Liberal Democrats, libertarian, i.e. want less government and with less power, often supports traditional left-associated causes, marriage equality, but in general all caring about cutting government programs, government support, and privatizing the world. They're a mid-right, or if you prefer the term, libertarian. They're the Libertarian Party in this election. Online Direct Democracy, Empowering the People Party. Iconically, they're the people that refresh democracy by making it even more poll-driven. They don't have any political affiliation. The Liberals and Nationals, a strange correlation of men in suits and country bumpkins. They currently run the country. You know who they are, turn on the news. They're a centre-right party. The Animal Justice Party, single-issue party on animal libertation? Left-wing. Kata Australian Party, the Nationals, are now available in Extra Crazy. They're a right party. The Marriage Equality Party generally promotes equality and human rights, specifically focuses around marriage equality. Claims not to be left-wing, with 43% of members Liberals, or those who usually vote Liberal. Leftist to centre. Mature Party, Australia. Really confused policy base, calling for higher pensions, less wasteful spending. They're right. They don't really say, but it's kind of particularly right. Nick Sfolian, populist opportunist, began with a frenzy anti-gambling position, now wants to roll back 40 years to tariff reform to benefit South Australia at everyone else's expense. And he's very left, he's populist left. The Pirate Party of Australia, we're running out of time, so we'll do some of these in the next segment. Left Libertarian Party, oppose rejections on piracy and internet censorship. They're a left-wing party. We'll do a couple more here. The Australian Liberty Alliance, fascists and bigots. Wow. They're a far-right party. We'll do one more. The Darren Hinch Justice Party. Darren Hinch thinks he can tough up state bail laws and sentences for pedophiles by running the wrong branch of government. And they're a right-wing party. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, we'll continue to run down the ballot paper for you on Sunday, and we'll recap the burger debate that happened in the Great Living Emporium in the Generic Live Show. Remember, we're only up to P. Yeah, in the alphabet, we're only up to P, and we need to get to A, O, I think. Oh, A-L. We need to get A-L. Jeez, that's a lot. There's a lot to get through as we continue here on the Generic Live Show. Lots to see, lots to do. Remember, we got some more Brexit coverage coming up at the half-hour break. Lots to see, lots to do. We'll continue with the great burger debate. And I will continue by running down the Senate paper, and then we'll... Great burger debate, we've got an announcement, and we've got gaming. Oh, lots to see and do in the second hour. It's 11:01.